Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, I'm bringing out to the forefront like the elephant in the room. This is arguably one of the most potent points I am endeavoring in my work here, in the movement, the guys that you've been hearing recently, the guys that are also the potent, powerful leaders of this movement, the men that are doing the work themselves within Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. There's been Sav, there's been Andrew, there's been Tyon recently. I know the numbers have been up really high for the Marriage Transformation Heroes series. So it's really a beautiful moment. But a core part of what this movement represents is supporting husbands around the world reconnect with the radical aliveness inside of themselves. And this is why I'm bringing this episode. Why every husband should have a midlife crisis. Buckle in. What do you call it? Like, Joe, just get your seatbelt. Buckle yourself in. Really tighten up. This is going to be a revelatory ride for every single one of you. And I imagine, like, it should. Statistically, it should be a revelatory ride. I took a check in preparation for this in the last couple of days and writing up the draft. You know, like, what is a midlife crisis? A midlife crisis is a transition of identity and self-confidence that can occur in middle-aged individuals. And I went on to go blah, bitty, blah, 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 with a lot of, honestly, sort of boring details and stuff. And like, yeah, cool. It might be semi-interesting or not. But like, at the core of it, within men, what is a midlife crisis about? It's a lack of felt embodied freedom from constraint. Getting to the core of sacred masculine and feminine teachings, the masculine soul yearns embodied freedom from constraint. Sit with that for a moment. You know, how true does that hold for you? Where it's like, you know, aren't there moments where, you know, you're away from family, you're away from work, solitude in nature, and there's just this inner peace that comes from there. Maybe you're driving away from family, you're going off for, you know, some sporting event, but there's moments when no time, no space, there's no, you know, responsibilities, and there's a felt peace and freedom in those moments. If we have the courage, if we have the capacity to lean into them, in conversation with men, the vast majority of men that I speak with, when I pose these type of, you know, reflections or questions, and men do an inquiry, a self-inquiry in front of me, you know, in coaching or journaling, the vast majority of men will say, yeah, there's moments when there's this realization that there could be something much greater to life, and that there is this yearning for more of that embodied sense of freedom. Now, thing about it is, there's been such a bombardment and indoctrination into, you know, the modern way of life. It has to go a certain way. So as good men, as well-intentioned men, we give it our 10 out of 10 best to be a good husband. Most of us would have entered fatherhood to be a good dad, to be a good worker, you know, in your own business, in the company, wherever you are serving the world in some way, shape or form and getting in exchange money for it, you'd be a good man, you know, all with 10 out of 10 intentionality. And yet, it just never, your best is never good enough. So, why I say every man should have a midlife crisis is because, you know, I go back to Krishnamurti. You know, you'll hear me saying profoundly sick society. I don't know, was a coin by him, but I go by a quote by Jiddu Krishnamurti. It's no sign of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. We, every single one of us, honorable, fucking, groundedly well-intentioned men, were giving our 10 out of 10 best to our families, to our queens, to our lives, to our companies, to the, you know, to our homes, to our castles. You know, we maintain and we cut the lawn, we, you know, we paint the rooms, we do repairs, DIY, we tend to it, we try in the middle of all of this to tend to our health, and it's never ever going to be good enough. It actually won't. And yet the great tragedy of modern life, and what I'm hearing, I definitely have heard it and it still is there, is within my own nervous system, but I know it's true for every man out there, there's a badass inner critic that takes us down. This voice of shame that goes against us, it's like, man, am I ever going to be good enough? And then there's the voice of blame, which is like, we blame our life, we blame our queens, we blame, you know, we'll blame our kids, we'll blame fucking just, we blame anybody or anything for this feeling of angst, this background feeling of an unlived life that lives in us, that we don't call it that it's an unlived life, but that's what it is. It's our soul saying, man, I dreamed of more. I really thought there'd be more. But why am I feeling so boxed, so imprisoned, and yet I'm doing my best and it's never good enough? So why I actually say it's every man should have a midlife crisis is like it's waking up to the effects of this profoundly sick society and its indoctrination of this is what you should do. A good man does this. And until that's questioned, until you really hold society up transparent to the light, like, you know, like the old style sort of the x-ray, the plastic thing, and the doctor would hold it up to the light. And when you hold it up to the light, you see where the fractures are. Until you actually hold society and your role in it and the tapestry, how, you know, until you question who is the author of your life, is it you or is it the indoctrinated story that society has bombarded your nervous system with so many million stimuli of messages that you have taken on an unquestioned truth as your own? That's like holding the x-ray scan up to the light and going, whoa, fractures everywhere. But guys, this is intense, and I'm going to bring you on a ride through, you know, how to go at this in a way that's inspiring, that's revealing, that's liberating. You know, the core essence of everything I want to represent and desire to represent is like spiritual liberation. I'm not talking about sitting in a fucking cave in Tibet, like sitting your ass in a rock and like levitating. I mean, if that's part of your expression, cool, I'm all for that. Like, but I'm talking about real life spiritual liberation where you can live, if it's true to you, if it's true to you, in the same home. You can even do the same job, especially with the same wife, same kids, same family setup, but you feel spiritually liberated. You feel alive. You feel energized. You feel sexually liberated. You feel that you can hatch open new desires, new needs, new wishes, new wants, and go for them. And as a result of this upward spiral of living, your wife fucking falls in love with you again, because why? You're so radically alive and sexually liberated that she's like, man, this is the king I always knew was in there. That's why she's been giving you the feedback. That's why she's been like handbrake up on sexual intimate connecting and all the sweet stuff, because she's like, man, you're, my whole impulse is that you should step into godliness and you're not doing it. So, hey, I just want to put that, like, the horizon at the end of this episode coming into landing is radical heroic hope. So buckle in and just lean in really intensely with this, with an introspective self-inquiry process of getting, being willing to get to practice heroic humiliation, which is the grounded truth of where you're truly at in relationship with your life. Why I say a midlife crisis, like every husband should have one. Guys, you know, in this profoundly sick society, you know, I know in my myself in my fucking late 20s, I was feeling old. I was feeling past it. I was breaking down, crying, looking at books of, you know, these authors, Wayne Dyer's, Tony Robbins, etc., etc. I remember in Florence, in Italy, one Christmas, late 20s, I don't know, it was like 27, 28, in the floods of tears, looking at these men and the lives they were living, thinking, I'm past it. I'm doomed. I'm done. With the marriage I had, with, you know, we had our first child living away from home, I thought I was done and dusted. I was in my late 20s. It's fucking crazy. But this is like omnipresent, where as men, it's, we want to retrace the good old days of like the freedom when we were late teenage, early 20s, college days, when we could just click our fingers. We were going off on an adventure, fucking different women. They're like, whatever your version is of this, going to parties, radical freedom. Like it was like this complete, what would I say, blank canvas of possibility. And then we wake up 6 years later, 10 years later, you know, maybe some of you like 20, 30 years later, and it's like, whoa, I'm in a prison. And there's this utter feeling of hopelessness of ever feeling that infinite sense of possibility ever again. It is possible. It takes a radical overhaul of your persona. But better to do it now. The reminder is for all of you, and lean fucking into this, because it takes a lot of courage to lean into an episode like this. Some of you, that's okay, will have already clicked stop. No, this is not an episode for me. I honor every single one of you that are still listening in. That's like, you've got balls, spiritual balls in you like Bengali tigers. Fucking big, juicy spiritual balls. It takes courage. But there's that yearning in you. It's that masculine core that's like, man, if there's something more from the five-star, you know, Michelin, what, how many star fucking table of life? I want the full five-star, five-course meal, man. That is good. That is fucking at the core of beautiful masculinity. Better now than questioning your life when it's shoved in your face on your deathbed. There's been innumerable beautiful studies done of people in the hospice movement, where, you know, beautiful sociologists have come in and asked questions of people, and the regrets of the dying, the number one regret of people who are in the phase of dying, it's what they did not do. But at that point, guys, like, it's worthy to do, to really reflect upon, do you want to wait? Like, you might think, oh, I'm past it now, and oh, it's so difficult. You know, it's better to just keep going on with the sedated hood on my head and pretending, and just like, you know, let's nudge the needle by a few percentiles, but let's not do a radical overhaul. That's too much. I'm not able, all of that. You can go with that. You don't have to do jack shit for me. You can. You can go, yeah, you know, it's interesting, but maybe it's for some other guys. You know, I'm going to just tip along doing the job. Yeah, marriage isn't so great, but it ain't so bad again. I'd say this time and time and time again, and those of you that are ready and waiting and probably have suffered enough spiritual pain to have the necessity that you have no option but listen the fuck up, shut the fuck up and listen up, and not listen to sort of take my truth, but to reconnect with your inner knowing that, man, there's some truth in this. I've got to listen, I've got to take heed. Because if you haven't had enough spiritual pain to listen up yet, man, the spiritual pain of you on your deathbed, me on my deathbed, every single one of you listening in on your deathbed, when you're like, man, I came and I saw and I didn't fucking conquer shit. There's a long list of regret behind me of what I did not do. I could have done so much more. You know, that one episode when that skinny dude from Ireland was annoying my fucking ass with all this midlife crisis shit and like ripping to shreds society, the society I've grown up in, and I've done my best to fit in, man. You know, like, you don't know how much effort I've put in to fucking get to create the life I've created, the marriage I've created, and then you pretend to pull it apart. Like, man, you can rebel against any teaching, any message. Of course you can. But the bullshit, that you have come to believe that deep down doesn't suit your soul. Your soul knows that shit is going to be ripped ruthlessly from you, mercilessly from you, when you're dying, when you're truly fucking old. Not like this self-deceiving, self-delusional bullshit because of this society where, man, we feel we're past it when we're beyond our fucking mid-20s. You know, the sports stars, the movie stars, everybody, the eternal fucking seeking of, you know, eternal youth bullshit. Recent years, the last 5-10 years, I mean, cosmetic products and fucking creams for men's face, and like, if you use them, that's okay, but I'm talking about the indoctrination that it's all about youth, and there's nothing about growing old with grace and with spiritual beauty and truth, like the indigenous tribes of old. The most sacred people in the village were the elders. We're being sold this sick story where eternal youth is the thing of the day. So what we're waking up to, what the midlife crisis, why I feel every man should, you know, consciously go, I want my midlife crisis, without the crisis part, but like, it's a midlife awakening, a coming to truth, a coming to a humble, heroic realization of, man, I'm not living my truth here. What it's about is awakening that your life is being created from your persona, but your persona, it's the same thing, personality. Your persona, the root of the word persona, and thus personality, comes from mask. It's a mask that you created to navigate early life. It's the set of beliefs and thought patterns that your nervous system has conjured up as it found super incredible creative ways to fit into society, to fit into your family system, to cut the risk of social alienation, to make sure that your attachment needs were met. You know, it pleases authority figures. It sort of tried to learn the rules, to relate with your mom and dad in ways that you didn't get bet, that you get fed, that they sort of hugged you, that they took care of you, that they didn't resent giving you dinner. And if they did resent you in some ways, they still kept you with a roof over your head, etc., etc. And it's like the persona takes on beliefs of, you know, social indoctrination of, you know, your parents, their beliefs. It's like, oh, your father will never be dead when you're still around type stuff. You know, your traditions, the traditions of all different things. But what the persona denies is inner knowing. Slow down with this. Is there not some omnipresent part of you that if you just fucking slow down for long enough to get out of the high-speed train of thoughts, of thinking in your head, of the busyness of your external life and the radical busyness of your inner life, and you slow down, is there not some inner knowing inside of you that knows a ton of what you've come to believe is actually bullshit, and it's nothing to do with what you truly, truly believe is true for you? Is there not some part? I'm going to go through a lot of the social institutions one by one, but I want you, I'm inviting you, I'm directly challenging you to get fucking real within yourself, man. Not to agree with what I'm saying, but to intuitively loosen up the binds of your beliefs. Remember, the identity is the most powerful force in the human condition. Tony Robbins speaks that time and time again. You know, it will do everything and anything to prove its beliefs to be correct. Now, that's where, you know, spiritual teachings like this that are provocative, that challenge that identity, it's very easy to say, well, that's true for somebody else, or it's sort of interesting, but you don't truly lean in. I'm really leaning out to you, man. Like again, I smile, I say this to you so many times, it's like, you want to see me, I'm moving here, and I'm literally looking into, like, it's an empty room, but I'm leaning in, like, imagining that there's thousands of you out there, and there are, and you're all there, super sincere, and I'm looking you in the eyeball, man, And I'm like, man, lean in. You know, sit up straight, lean in. Be really present with what's coming up for you in this. Get radically real. Have the courage. Okay, there's an identity. Man, I'm not attacking your identity. I'm not attacking the persona. It's beautifully creative and it's 10 out of 10 best to fit into a profoundly sick society. Your inner child deserves honoring the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old you that formed those beliefs to navigate parents that didn't know how to hold space for your radical, authentic truth and expression to come true. You know, that they played the authoritarian figure. It's like, you know, I'm bigger than you, I'm louder than you, so you should do what I say. You know, and like the fucked up relationship dynamics, masculine and feminine. Your dad was more often away. Your mother's predominantly, you know, they were the predominant parenting figure. So you learn way more feminine pleasing because of all of that relating with women growing up and your primary, you know, your first school experiences were predominantly with more women. So it's like you ended up going through a childhood where it was completely out of balance. So it's not to question, it's not to put a downer on that. But man, if you truly want to feel radically alive, you've got to start questioning the imprisonment of your own belief system. We create our life from our beliefs. We create our lives from our ways of thinking. So it's when you put that up to the light, just think of that metaphor, you know, it's like the doctor puts the x-ray scan up to the light, and it's only in doing that that it brings to his or her conscious awareness where the fractures are. This is like putting your persona, it's putting your life up to the light and going, okay, takes courage, take a deep breath, but this is what I'm going to do. Going quickly through, and I want to bring it all back. Of course, we're talking about we're individually and collectively, we're a bunch of super potent husbands around the planet listening in and leaning into this experience. Let's go. Don't take any of this personal. That's, I think, the ultimate point. Spiritual practice is going on beyond the personal. This is getting like practicing black box type objectivity. If your life isn't ticking all the boxes of feeling radically free and alive and energized and sexually liberated and feeling fully in love with your wife, with your, you know, with your life, with your kids, with yourself, etc., etc., you gotta put that x-ray scan up to the sky with black box thinking, objective. Take the emotion, take the personal shit to the side. It's nothing personal. Think about religion. Like, I've spoke to this before. I'm going to go through this quite quickly because I want to get to the juicy shit of like, well, where does the hope come in? How do you consciously lean into this? Again, the initial bit might be intense, but you know, the intensely freeing, liberating part is coming. So stay tuned. Think about religion. You know, we suffer so much beating the shit out of ourselves in the inside and blaming our queens because our marriage, our married lives aren't going to plan. They aren't like as radically free. We thought it could have been, should have, would have been better, freer. We thought we assumed we saw, you know, the shitty ways our parents went at it. It's like, I'll do better than my dad. And you are showing up better than your dad, but it's still not so great. It's actually still quite shitty. The communication isn't great. Sex isn't great, etc., etc. Think about religion. The indoctrination of religion, subconsciously, organized religion, most religions are like this. It's male dominated. Women are like, if you want to say, they're the silent bystanders who can't dare embody spiritual teachings. And, you know, some might say, oh, but they can, you know, there's nuns, or, oh, but they can, there's like some, you know, female monks, or there are some, you might say some, but like predominantly, the head honcho, the dude at the top of the table, cock and balls between that dude's legs, you know, it's like he wanted to, you know, embody spirituality and be a leader in the spiritual religious movement. You gotta be born with a cock and balls between the legs, man. And forgetting about social commentary about what's happening with the gender movement, all it's beautiful and all the rest, but like traditionally we are the result of what has happened for centuries and millennia. We've inherited this sort of social truth, but like think about it. Men are the only worthy leaders in the vast majority of religious organizations. I had a super potent experience. And again, this is no, maybe it is a criticism, like it's a commentary, it's my observation. And again, I always want to asterisk this, if you actually feel, if your relationship with organized religion, you know, engenders in you a sense of radical spiritual liberation, liberated beingness and consciousness and embodied love and all this juicy stuff, man, kudos to you. I'm really happy for you. But like, you wouldn't be listening in if it was actually radically liberating you. I'd really challenge that to a point as well. If it's so liberating, can you embody exceptional levels of presence and unconditional love in the face of your wife's testing? If you're listening in, you probably can't. Or it's a fucking radical challenge, and there's a judgmental part of your head picking her apart going, but I'm so loving. I hear this from a good few guys. Oh, I just can't understand. It's like, you know, in the face of my unconditional loving, like, she still is unhappy. I don't get it. There's a big deep dive underneath that. But there's a big part, guys, where, I'll tell you a recent experience I had. Get back to that. I'd left going to regular church when I was about 12. And I've only been back like a handful of times. A couple of marriages that I was invited to. Weddings, and there was a few masses for my mother passing 2 years ago, and then, like, you know, there was the month's mine, and then there was the 1 year anniversary, etc. And, you know, with my marriage overhaul and transformation and my queen, like, I'm doing deep men's work and masculine teachings, etc., etc., learning to honor the divine feminine, but my queen is doing the whore version of this. You know, our two girls, they're 9 and 13 now, they're radically free. We unschooled them. They're growing up. You know, they're marinating in what I'm speaking to you. I speak at the breakfast table, lunch table, dinner table, all appropriate moments, like in just commentaries, and they have their beautiful queenly mother, you know, speaking about divine feminine and female sexual spiritual empowerment and liberation, liberated being. And, you know, it was actually quite traumatizing. Well, it wasn't traumatizing. It was challenging for them. There was no trauma in it because they had their mother and father to support them through the experience. But my girls went into the church, and, you know, they hadn't been themselves. And the only was the one thing, guys, that they couldn't understand. There was all of these, you know, they're actually quite beautiful statues around the place. And they were like, why is there only one woman? There's all of these paintings and all these statues. It's actually quite a beautiful, large church. They were like, man, there's 20 or 30. There's all of these statues. There's only one woman. Obviously, the Virgin Mary is Roman Catholic Ireland. Why? They couldn't understand. Like, why all men? They're actually quite angry. Like, what the hell? They were cursing. We allowed that language. They're like, what the fuck? What the fuck is that about, Mom? What's that about, Dad? We had to give like a social commentary about, hey, it's patriarchal control in society. And if you go back far enough, guys, religion, there's goddess traditions. If you go back millennia, the historians that were digging up their archaeological sites, they were predominantly English and German. I'm not putting it on the English and German, but they were. And they were Christian. And when they saw all the different references to female goddess heads in the spiritual practitioners back years ago, they just changed the pronoun, man. They didn't say she, they wrote he. Her, him. Goddess became God. This is historical fact. If you go back, if you look at it. So, religious imprints is, the feminine is not divine. And this has indoctrinated us to relate with our wives like in a way that they're sort of below us. Now, conscious mind, we're like, we're even. I honor my wife. I respect my wife. I love my wife. But deep, deep, deep down, you got to look and go, well, do you honor, the proof of the pudding is, do you honor her divine feminine feedback? I'm going to go down to marriage at the bottom of this, but let's think of economy. Economy, the indoctrination of beliefs, is material meaning focus. Productivity, profit, gives meaning to a man. Industrial revolution, ripped from the land where you were the master of your own kingdom. You know, generations ago, our forefathers, they all had their own land. They all had their own home. They had their own animals. They had community. Men were men. Women were women. And, you know, the masculine lineage, the father taught the son his trade, the blacksmith, the farming, the agriculture, the, you know, tending to the land, growing crops, etc., etc. Wasn't perfect, but it worked. There was a lineage, there was a safety, there was a known. Men were ripped from that, and the only men that survived the Industrial Revolution with any bit of shape to them as men were the ones that, like, abandoned all their belief systems and worked hard. The badge of honor was lone wolfing, zero complaints. Which, if you think about it, like, there was a massive divide of their emotional safety and health on the farm, being in nature, above ground, etc., etc. They were now in cold, they were in factories. Put up, shut up was the badge of honor, the hard-working man whose sort of only human comforts were left to, you know, smoking a cigarette at the end of the day, having a couple of beers. Profound tragedy. But that's what we have inherited. And in modern economy, in Heroic Husbands men's circles, like, what most of these men are coming alive to is like, wow, you know, I don't actually really like my job. And I've just been running myself so raggedy dry to save money, to create my business, to work hard, to progress, to gain the promotion, that I've forgotten about happiness and health. And what the fuck happens? Your wife is like giving you is drop kicking you out of your marriage because for the last 10, 20 years, you've been putting all your focus on work, work, work. Because why? Indoctrination. It's not you, it's your persona. It's a story that you were told so many times it's the only way that you took it on as a truth. So again, and I want this, like, you to get the core message in this, guys, is, you know, when you think that your 10 out of 10 best is not good enough, that doesn't mean you're not good enough. I want you to get at the core of my message is the story that you were given is not good enough. It's a bullshit story. You just got lost like I did, like every man has. You got lost that it's the society story became yours. That's indoctrination. You take it on. It's like, oh no, I've got to get to work, baby. And I was like, this is really important. Money is important. Don't the payment of the house, don't forget. And we believe it. Again, the identity is the most powerful force in the human condition. It will do anything to ascertain, to prove that its beliefs are true. You become an impenetrable mountain, a granite hard face to your queen, to your kids. They can't access you anymore. They can't find any soft spots where you'll be vulnerable to say, maybe the money isn't that important. Maybe the big house isn't that important. Maybe the promotion isn't that important because I see you're suffering. I see our marriage is suffering. I see we're falling apart slowly but surely. We're drifting. We're our connection, the original intense love that we had when life was simpler. It's going, and that frightens me. Our kids are growing up rapidly. I'm never friendly with them. I'm not spending true quality time with them. We don't see that. Indoctrination. And your persona took it on. But remember, guys, the key revelation here is your persona is not you. It's just merely a set of belief systems that you conjured up to survive, to fit in, to not get the social boot out of the tribe. It makes sense. Healthcare. How do you relate with healthcare? I speak to this. I was a physiotherapist before. I worked for years in the healthcare system. And it's like, Hippocrates, the so-called father of modern medicine, which it's a sick joke that doctors take, the Hippocratic Oath, because his core teaching was the forces within are the true healers of disease. Compare that versus the passive treatment protocols of the modern medical system. Passive treatment is nothing to do with encouraging the natural forces within to heal your body. It's all to do with, we'll give you a pill, we'll give you an injection, we'll do surgery, we'll do some passive intervention, which means you don't have to make any effort. What we have invented, and thus you will pay for, if we can en masse convince the majority of humans on the planet that this is the way, this is the only way. And we set the insurance system up with it, we set every social system up with it. We give fucking toys of, you know, nurses to well, young girls, young boys now, you know, with the gender equality and all that beautiful stuff. It's like we just will indoctrinate you that this is the Bahamut, this is the peak of medical knowledge, of healing knowledge, is passive. It's horrifying. It's the most disempowering pro approach that has ever been. Doctors in the past, in ancient days, they were supported, or like the ancient ways of being paid, when people were healthy. Not when people were sick. The more sickness in the modern healthcare system, the more money is made. That's the polar opposite of how it should be in a profoundly healthy society, in a happy society. It would be, excuse me, doctor, but like the local community, we've done the stats, local doctor, local healthcare system. Man, there's a lot of sickness in your, it's like a political thing. All politics is a lot of bullshit too. I mean, it would be results based. It'd be like, man, there's a lot of sickness. Man, the asthma rates, the mental health rates, like all of these are going up. It's like, man, you're clearly not doing a good job. We need to get something better in. But because we've been indoctrinated that that's the only way, we don't question it. There are millions of amazing healers out there. There are millions of amazing ways, mindfulness, breath work, better diet, man. You know, good diet. Modern diet is poison. And yet, we have the organization that pretends to be the, you know, dictating rulers of the healthcare on this planet. They've had it in the annals of it has been stated. An organic grower showed me this on the on that organization's website, where the healthiest way of providing food is stated. I'll paraphrase it as like locally produced. What do you call it? Like multi-crop growing. It's not monocrop, organically grown. It was like it's there. Yet they have the power to stop and an entire planet from traveling around. They have the power to make all go like the majority of governments on the planet be at their beck and call and establish no travel, kill off local economies en masse, local shops, companies, small businesses have been massacrated. They have that power, but they don't have the power, funny enough, to establish, hey guys, the planet would be much healthier if we, like, let's change the way we're growing food. It'll fucking change everything. But they don't do that. They don't establish trauma-based information in schools early days, where we would establish that 99.9% of mental ill health is unnecessary. You could teach in one generation children en masse, in one generation en masse, teach them how to self-regulate your nervous system. All depression, all anxiety, all of these conditions would be pretty much obsolete, gone, eradicated, 95 to 99% gone, eliminated. Unfortunately, you would eliminate 99% of pharmaceutical profits. I'm just saying, guys, are you getting that you're living, and like a lot of you will have health conditions in the family, will have mental health issues, and it's a struggle, and you're giving your 10 out of 10 best, but man, don't beat yourself up. There's a story you have inherited that's not so helpful. We gotta wake up to the story and recognize that the story society indoctrinated you with and us all with, that is what does not work with you and your wife feeling good together, individually, collectively as a marriage, your kids feeling good and radically alive and free, and an infinite sense of possibility of what is our birthright to feel as human beings. It's the story you inherited that it doesn't work, not you, man. You're a badass. You've a lot of love to gift. And you've been gifting it, but you've been gifting it through the visor of a story that's never going to work for you, it's never going to work for your queen, and it's never going to work for your kids. So don't beat yourself up, but put that story of society that you inherited up to the light, like the X-ray, and go, fuck, look at all the fractures. Think education, drawing out educare, the root, ancient root of the modern word education means to draw out that which lies within. It's spirituality. It's what this podcast is about. It's like everything is me reminding you, trying to reconnect. Do my best to reconnect you with this badass masculine growl of spiritual truth, of authentic power, infinite, like, fucking I can do anything. I am as powerful as any man. I will state this. I want this, like, you to find this flame inside of you where you can allow yourself, like, declare within yourself. Like, even as you're experiencing this, if it's appropriate to your environment, if you're in the car, whatever, you're by yourself in the house, give a spiritual growl, a roar. Frighten yourself with how potent that power is to feel coming through you, man. Because you are as powerful as any man that has ever been, any man that is alive now, and you are as powerful as any man that ever will be. That's absolute spiritual truth. Inarguable. By all the greatest mystics that have ever been, if you go to the root of their teachings, don't forget to politicalize, if that's a word, fucking bullshit that came from the authority figures that came afterwards that tried to control humanity. The origins, the teachings that are the origins of the religious traditions on this planet, them mystics, they all said you are infinitely powerful. The kingdom of God lies within you. You know, no Buddha has a better Buddha nature. It's only adventitious stains that holds us back within our nervous system from connecting with that Buddha nature. We all have it. And there's tons of other traditions that I'm not mentioning that said the same thing. You're as powerful as any man that has ever been, is now, or ever will be. I want you feeling that, man. But when you start feeling that, you start realizing that this society has given you a fucking 400-pound lead jacket to wear with a hood over your head. You can't see and you're weighed down by this shit and you're doing your 10 out of 10 best and then you're beating the shit out of yourself that your wife is never happy and you're like, man, I'm such a piece of shit. Like, my best is never good enough. It's like, I'm like, take the fucking 400-pound jacket off you, man. Take the hood off your head. That's the story, the bullshit story. And then you start going, man, I feel liberated. Man, I feel good. And there's an infinite sense of hope and possibility. This is what happens, guys, slowly but surely, in Heroic Husbands men's circles. They start remembering how infinitely powerful they are. And then all of a sudden, funnily enough, their queens start getting sexually turned on by them. They start being attracted by them. They feel this badass, confident man beside them. They're like, wow, there's no boy energy there. He's a fucking king. I love this man. And their kids start resonating, attracted to their dads once more, wanting to play with them, wanting to go outside, wanting to throw a ball with them, like laughing and smiling and happy to be in their presence, not feeling like it's this obligated thing with this sad ass dude with a fucking frown and wrinkles on his forehead. Not wrinkles from old age, wrinkles from sadness, unexpressed sadness. It's radically alive now. So education, it's like, shut the fuck up and focus and we'll tell you what's important to learn with zero inner knowing allowed. Boredom, restlessness, I'm fucking out of my tree. You're labeled a bold child when you actually honor your primal masculine core impulse, which is, this is fucking bullshit. I can't sit and listen to any more of this shit. I'm being told to sit down for 5 and 6 hours a day. My entire primal power, my bodily wisdom says, let me outside to climb a tree. Let me outside to swim in a stream. Let me outside to walk the mountains. Let me outside to roll in the muck. Let me outside to kick football. Let me outside to wrestle the guys. And in between when I'm feeling a bit rested, tell me a couple of things. Teach me to read. Teach me about the world. Yeah, cool, I'm open to that. But don't tell me to sit down. But we go through that for like, what, 14, 15, 16? You go to college. I mean, it's up to 18 years of that. Sit down, shut up, and marinate in what we tell you is true. It's the eradication of inner knowing. But it's inner knowing that I'm trying to, do you know when you relight a fire? In iron, you call it the riddle. You get it to the bottom of the stove and you riddle it up. You shake up the sparks. It's like it's got stagnant at the bottom. You just shake it vigorously and all of a sudden oxygen can go through all the ash. The ash let's say metaphorically, this is working really beautiful. I'm feeling excited. When new metaphors come through me, I come alive. Guys, this process is, it's like there's tons of ash. Dead, it's already burned up, it's ash, it's dead, it's useless to the fire. But there's ash that is caught at the bottom of your flame, and deep inside there's the embers, deep inside there's your spiritual truth. But this episode and every one of these episodes, and the force that will take you to transform your marriage and the path of least resistance, is this spiritual power. But you gotta riddle that shit. You gotta shake the flames and stoke the flames to the point at which the ash falls away. And when you know, every single one of you, you've burned fires out, you've had your barbecue, you've maybe some of you have timber fires at home, you know that when you clear the ash away, all of a sudden the inspiration of life, the oxygen in the environment can reach you. All of a sudden the fire is now invigorated with oxygen. Boom! And it's burning and there's a flame. Hence, that's why fire is such a metaphor. It's a spiritual metaphor. There's a coming home. Men, do you ever get that good feeling when you're at the barbecue? That's why men take the barbecue. Because why? You're controlling the fire. You know, a bonfire, mates, go to a men's retreat. Fire, the circle, men for centuries, for millennia have sat at fires. It's sacred. So this is about stoking your fire. But as Joseph Campbell said, there's no resurrection without a crucifixion. The crucifixion is not you. The crucifixion is your persona, your identity, which has been a mask. But you got to shake that away. That's the ash, the dead ash, the already burnt up ash. It served. It served for your spiritual fire when you're a young boy. It served, but it's burnt up. It's used up now. You've got to shake that away to liberate the spiritual power inside of you. This badass motherfucker that's been waiting to reclaim his birthright to feel radically alive. Education fucking forced a new shit to believe, and you stopped following your inner knowing. Because why? You were going to get kicked out, and maybe some of you... You know, I was a good boy at school. I learned to fit in. I look back and I'm like, I have such admiration for the guys that were bold, because I now know they were the badass spiritual mavericks that were like, and yet they were shamed so deeply. I can point out different guys in my childhood, they were shamed so deeply because they wouldn't sit, they couldn't be quiet, because they had so much radical spiritual energy in them, but they became known as the bold ones and they didn't fit in. And they carry a heavy cross with their on their lives, because like they lived an entire childhood where people were telling them, were telling their parents, they're bold, they don't fit in, they don't do. They were spiritual mavericks. They were badass mother truckers, man. You can go to retirement, arbitrary age of 65, decided upon by a German economist, Otto von Bismarck, in the 1800s, when it made sense because people are only living to the age of fucking 67 anyway. So set the retirement age at 65. I mean, they're only going to live 2 years. We're living like 20, 30 and 40 years beyond that. So it doesn't make sense. And yet we line up. Oh, the pension funds, the financial advisors, our jobs. Parents will say it's good to get a pensionable job. That's an Irish fucking traditional. It's like a religious teaching here. It's good to get a pensionable job. What? To spend your entire the most energetic years of your life, dedicating yourself to an economic machine that's like you're a piece. To what? Be happy when you're 65, when you've less vitality and you're spent and probably your marriage is dead. If you're still together, it's still dead, or you're divorced, or your kids don't give a fuck because you weren't feeling alive when they were around and they wanted you to feel alive, and they're probably stuck in their heads because that's what they inherited from you. The bullshit story. And it all comes, like, guys, can you get how religion, economy, healthcare, education, retirement, all of these social institutions and their teachings, that if we take them on, if we don't put them up to the light like the x-ray scan and see the fractures, if we take that as truth, do you see how all of this makes your marriage suffer? Your queen, her ancestral lineage is that she's a goddess. Her ancestral lineage, in her DNA, deep, deep down, her archetypal power is, she is pretty much the most major initiator of you coming into kingship that exists. That's the grace. That's the power that she knows deep down. She has a profoundly sick society that she doesn't know how to own that. And that's why our queens get so frustrated to give the feedback, but they're not giving it in the full way. To be honest, if they were in their full queenliness, you never would have got to marriage, because she would have like assassinated your mediocrity way earlier. But she has been shamed of not giving her full feminine feedback. So she's doing a semi job, you're doing a semi job, and you're all fucking unhappy. This has happened to my marriages. Now, I'm not criticizing you, but we got to wake up to the story. Give me one moment. I want to get a drink. Feeling the passion in this, guys, is so fucking important to get real with this shit. So important. My entire existence is completely different from slowly but surely just revealing this power and going, wow. But in marriage, you know, the patriarchal movement, it's like marriage is a legally bound experience that historically was only produced to control the transition of property within families, within generations. It's a power game. Nothing more. Love has very little to do with it. And I know you might have infused it with certain meaning, but like the institution of marriage, historically, you can search it out. Very little to do with love. It's political, it's economic, it's a control of properties and assets, is what you're talking about foundationally. And there's zero honoring of the profound gift of feminine feedback on a man's state of consciousness. You go to ancient masculine and feminine teachings, Shiva Shakti, Hindu teachings, fucking beautiful, beautiful. Pretty much all modern masculine and feminine dynamics. There's amazing teachers in the States, David Aida, John Wineland. Man, I'm going to put myself in a hat, like humbly, I'm like, I want to be a great teacher. Masculine and feminine teachings, to go back very much, to find their roots of inspiration in Shiva Shakti teachings and some other traditions, but they're like really profound on masculine, feminine spiritual dynamics. As a man and woman come together, it's like the feminine Shakti is like, there's a picture depicted where she has like hacked the head of Shiva, the godly being. So there's the goddess and the god. She's hacked his head off. He's there bleeding, but like he's there blissed out. And of course you can get super sensitized, like modern snowflake generation of, oh, but that's so dreadful. I mean, that's horrific. There's no equality in there. That's horrifying. I mean, I want to switch off from this now, because that's dreadful. Like, you know, I feel so disrespected. And that's like, yeah, okay, snowflake. You know, it's like, I know there's no snowflakes. You guys listening in, if you've listened in to 53 minutes already, you're not a fucking snowflake. I'm talking about the bullshit masculinity that's out there, a fucking modern day snowflakes, that anything that feels testing to their sense of self, they fucking burn up, they melt up in pressure. Pure masculinity, Shiva's face, the godly face, he's smiling, he's blissed out. Why? Because the story depicts that she's chopped his head off, because in that state, she was chopping to pieces his spiritual mediocrity and his blissed out state, that even though he is being decapitated, what that story, what that picture is communicating is that he has reached the peak state of enlightened freedom because she's chopped his head off. Because she had the courage to chop his mediocrity, he reached his final nirvana, his enlightenment. Of course it doesn't, if there's no literal mean that women should kill men. Fucking snowflakes out there. Man, I've seen a lot. I was a fucking snowflake myself, so I've seen a lot. I can see them because I've been one. And my wife wanted to, like, fell in love with actually, who was ultimately another fucking outrageous snowflake. He just played a better fucking feminine emotional bullshit game. I say emotional bullshit, not because emotions are bullshit, but he was like a deceptive, manipulative guy who made women fall in love with him. He had a case history of it. Long backstory. Getting back to it, guys. Marriage can't work with the persona, with the dead ash of this story that you have inherited. It's the story that you inherited that does not work. It's not you. But you've got to take the 400-pound fucking lead jacket off your back. You've got to take the hood off your head and start seeing it for what it is. Because with all of that conditioning, you're not seeing the spiritually perfect being, the profound gift of your feminine, the feminine feedback. So every time you say, oh, she's criticized, she's at me, she's breaking my balls again, she's complaining, she's doing her part or trying to do her part in this spiritual sacred dance. So if you can take that conditioning off and go, wow, the most sacred human being in my existence is my queen. And her most sacred gift is her feedback. So every time she utters a word, there's no such thing as a small thing. I hear this invariably in most guys. It's, oh, there's these like super small things that she takes so seriously around the house. You know, like I fucking arrived home 5 minutes late. Okay, man, I didn't put my shit away after the shower. It's just small things. They're not small. It's feminine goddess feedback saying, if you were mindful, if you were present, I wouldn't have to remind you repeatedly to be on time. You would be so submerged into self-leadership from presence that you would be on time. And you would be so present that you put your socks away, like, or you would tidy up the bathroom after your shower, or you would make the bed when you got up in the morning. In a nice way, not the fucked over boyhood resentful she's given out about the bed, so I'll fuck the fucking blankets on top and pretend it's done. No, it would be godly, because you would bring such order and self-leadership to everything that you touch, that everything you touch would be transmitting a message of godliness, of presence, of leadership, that would be so trustworthy and so such a fucking sexual turn on that I would be like, the coin would flip. It's like the magnets. Do you know the magnets where you're turning them, the poles are repulsing each other? You just flip them. You flip the presence, guys. Boom. Magnets are back together. But it only comes from a midlife crisis that's consciously done, that's consciously leaned into. This is coming in, guys. You can come back to it. This is clearly it's a longer episode. I obviously make no apology for this. Again, another story that they're trying to bombard us in this fucking bullshit societal story is, oh, human beings only have like the attention span for 3 minutes. That's why I'm off social media. Oh, you can't put anything out for more than 3 minutes, or like they can't fucking consume it. Dumb fucking motherfuckers. What a bullshit story. What an insult to human capacity. Every single one of you that listen in, and there's more and more and more guys listening in. I had like over 5,000 listens in a 30-day period. Broke through. The snowball is building. Every single one of you amazing heroic husbands are absolute proof that that story of, oh, humans can't, they don't want, you only have 3 seconds for them to pay attention. Funnily enough, some of my most listened episodes, solo episodes, are like the 70-minute ones, the hour-long ones. I'm going long on this one. Man, they're the ones that get listened to. The guest episodes, it's an hour and a half of deep spiritual sharing heart-to-heart between men. It's fucking beautiful. You guys are listening in. We gotta rip this bullshit story away. Guys, there's key points on a practical basis, how to consciously go at a midlife, I'd say a midlife awakening. There's no need for the crisis. You got to pay attention to the awakening moments. I'm really, my absolute expectation is that this and many, all of the episodes are awakening moments when you reconnect, you remember. Many, many, many of you guys that are on discovery calls, application calls, one-on-one in the group, you're telling me, it's like, man, just when I listen in, it's an awakening to this potent power. You know, I want to suggest that, you know, awakening moments, there's your 10 out of 10 best, yet there could be so much more. You know there could be and should be so much more. That's a good sign. An unhappy wife is an awakening moment. If you can take the visor off, if you can take the hood of bullshit off and go, she's unhappy, this is an awakening stimulus. This is like a spiritual prod for me to wake the fuck up and do whatever is necessary. You know, if you hate Monday mornings, if you have this same shit, different day relationship with your job, or it's like you're good at it, you sort of get a kick, but you know there's infinitely more awaiting elsewhere. So you might hate Monday mornings, or to just, you just mightn't be 10 out of 10 feeling spiritually alive. That's an awakening moment, an awakening awareness. Inspiring movies. You know, there's movies that just make you believe more in life. But do you lean in? And what's the message in that? Awakening moments. I did this with a guy the other day and it was really potent. It's like, well, who are your heroes? And then he described Elon Musk and he described, I forget, another dude. And I was like, well, what is it about him? He's like, oh, he just does whatever he wants. He doesn't care for anybody's opinion. He knows what's true for himself and he lines it up. And it's like, man, that's your spiritual truth. Wanting to come through you. We recognize our heroes. We are attracted to our heroes because they embody some spiritual truth that we want to embody ourselves. So an awakening moment, an awakening experience is recognizing who your heroes are. What do they embody? What do you get most excited when you look at them in full flow in business, in sport, in social reforming, whatever it is, in their public speaking? What do they embody? What you describe that they embody, that's your spiritual truth. That's your authentic truth. Wanting, dying, yearning to break free. That's a midlife awakening, man. If you can lean in, if you can recognize it for what it is. A death of a loved one. Death of my mother, man, that woke me up. This podcast, my business, this movement, that was the spiritual fire I needed to wake the fuck up to a deeper level. I was doing shit before it, but I multiplied by 10 or 100 how much I was putting in the game. Kids getting older, you start feeling old, they're getting old. Worries, concerns, it's like, man, they're going to be gone from the house. Like, I'm going to blink in 5 years, 6 years, they're going to be gone. And there's a grief. And that's an awakening moment. If you can have the courage to go, man, that this is a stimulus. I got to get my act together. And if you feel radically free when away from family and great ideas come to mind, there are awakening moments. Now, there's so many awakening moments. They're just giving some of them. I want to rapidly just go through what's a fucking bad idea. There was the cartoon, I don't know if you guys looked at it, I think it was from the States. What was it, Animaniacs? There was this part of it, it was like, good idea, bad idea. And it was like this caricatured thing of like, a good idea is this, and a bad idea is when like the anvil falls in your head, or I don't know what. But like the good idea, bad idea, I'm going to go with what's the bad idea. The bad idea when you have an awakening, when you're like, you realize, man, there's so much more radical freedom, is when you come from a, what the fuck, and it's from a freedom from perspective. You know, the caricatured midlife crisis of a man is he drop kicks his wife, he finds a woman that's 20, 25 years younger, you know, she's sexually virile, she's naive enough not to call him out in his bullshit. She probably has father wounds, so she fucking jumps at any authority figure that will give her, like, has any bit of, you know, groundedness in him. It's very easy for an older man to portray that. But he buys a sports car, finds the young woman, fucks around, changes the job, gets his multiple tattoos, I don't know what the fuck, and he obsesses about his health and, you know... It's a caricature. Yet what is at the core of that, again, is this, it's a sacred masculine need to feel free, to feel radically free and alive. It's just, again, within this bastardizing society, we think we're conditioned at the high point of male freedom is driving whatever sort of car you want. It's living the high life. It's having the young, sexy woman that, you know, just adores you because you don't have to earn her love. She just fucking adores you. It's really easy, by the way, for an older man to do that with a younger woman. Really easy. If you have a bit of money together, a bit of thing, really, it's pathetically easy. That's not what I'm talking about. like what I really want to call out is the greatest risk is that you turn against a married life, the life that you have created, and you lose the point. It's like my queen, the good idea is freedom too. So you're trying to, like, the bad idea is, man, you have your awakening, you listen to this episode, or you have your personal private awakening, spontaneously happens, and you're like, freedom from, where it's like, you wake up and you're suffocated by the life you have created over the last 10, 20, 30 years. And your awakening is, I want freedom, but you orient yourself to, I want freedom from the constraints of the life I have created. What you want, the way to go at it is, you want freedom from that, but the tendency is to go against your wife. Oh, I'm so bored with her. We've fallen out of love. My family life, it's just boring as shite. If I could just, like, we'll divorce, I'll find my own place. Man, I can do, I can have the kids at the weekend. I can do whatever I want. Man, I can feel like we can mentally masturbate to that. I have had moments when I've had the question in my waking up. I have this, I hope I can define it as grounded wisdom, because I've went through, in my marriage breakdown breakthrough experience, I was like, I went through moments where, Mark, like, does it make sense to put your heart and soul back into this marriage? I mean, like, there's a lot not working here. Like, your queen's unhappy, you're unhappy. It's like, you know, can we consciously just do it? Like, just go free. I have questioned at a very deep level. But it's like, no. It's freedom too. What I encourage you is not freedom from your wife, freedom from the constraints of kids, freedom from this entire life. It's like, and you can have a panic moment where, man, nothing of what I've created thus far in my married life, in my adult life, has anything to do with who I truly am. I've listened to this episode. It's like, fuck yeah, nothing is true, man. It's all persona-based. It's a mask. It's never who I am. But fuck, I created my marriage from this persona. I created my married life. My parenting is from here. My career is from here. My house, where we live, how we, our friends, my entire life, our entire life has been created from here. So if I show up all of a sudden as a new person, what will my queen feel? And actually, she's a totally different person. My true self, would she love my true self? And would my radically authentic, radically alive self love this woman? Here's the spiritual pill of humility. If you are bored with whore, slow down with this. Get really real with yourself. You can bet your fucking bottom dollar she's pretty fucking bored with you too, man. So here's the thing, and this is true for my wife, it's true for the queens and of the men in Heroic Husbands Men's Circle, is when these guys are actually showing up, and when I show up, when you show up, little bit by little bit, you don't come in and like rip the whole life apart, but conversation by conversation, you start practicing freedom too. It's like you realize, okay, I'm not happy with life. This life does not represent who I truly am. You can be sure the life that you created, if you're feeling that, the life that you've created with your queen doesn't represent who she truly is. So she's going to be spiritually way more interested in your radically free self and what he has to say. You can assume that. It might feel rough if you steamroll into town saying, it's all wrong, it's all bullshit, I'm going to leave my job in the morning and we've got to move to, you know, we've got to sell the house, move to, like, up in the mountains, because I always wanted to live in the mountains, and this is what I want to do in sex, and blah, 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 and we're going to rip these kids out of school. I don't know. It's going to be too much. So she is going to rebel against that. She's going to say no, and she'd be right to say no. When your identity is falling apart, I'd say it's a good idea to find solitude, moments where you can journal, moments where you can sit with yourself and go, okay, marinate in these reflections coming through. What does this mean? How would I relate with my job? How would I relate with my family of origin? How would I relate with friends? What new friends would I have? Or how could I shake up the friendships I already have? Find support to know what truth is emerging through you. Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, one-on-one coaching, guys. Like, the transformation of your marriage has more to do with you remembering, reconnecting with your authentic truth than it is to fix your marriage. Your marriage is not broken. the story you inherited is broken. No need to blame or shame yourself for it not working thus far again. £400 lead jacket on you. When you take that off, and you take the hood off, and you put the x-ray scan up to the light, and you're like, okay, I see the fractures. You now know what you need to fix. It's not fixing your marriage. It's fixing your relationship with your authentic truth. And slowly but surely, you come back to connecting and remembering your inner knowing. And your inner knowing is an emotional experience. It's like, man, I'm showing up to work and I just don't love it. You might have loved it back years ago. I just don't. I've fallen out of love. I don't love it. Yeah, and then from that inner knowing, you might go, well, what can I do? You know, do I just need a spiritual kick in the ass to bring more fire? And like, you can. A lot of cases, man, you don't have to change your job. But some of you, like myself, physiotherapy was not it for me. I was good at it. Good money. My dad still judges me severely. It's like, man, you could have been so rich, because he understands it. It's like, what's coaching? I told him about emotional work. He's like, oh, bullshit, emotions. It's like, he could understand that. Again, a lot of times our jobs and our lives are, we do them so our dads will approve, our life will approve us. But when you break free from the bondage of subconsciously needing your dad, your mom, your friends, life to approve you, all of a sudden you're following inner knowing, and inner knowing is a beautiful thing. You probably disconnected it, like me, for the last 30, 40, 50 years of your life, but it's a beautiful thing. So it's the freedom to create a new life, slowly but surely. Maybe some radical quantum leaps, with your queen's consent, you bring that bond, you have these beautiful conversations, and then her truth starts spilling through. My queen had so much she was unhappy with. Now she has her own podcast. Now she has her own clients. She actually dropped horse riding instruction, because the only reason she was doing that was her deeply abusive narcissistic mother is sort of still a riding instructor. So it was the only connection point. So we have 8 horses now off the basis of like, not following my queen's truth. We had to have really radical conversations about that. It was like, baby, why do we have these horses? You know, she was justifying it because she was doing lessons. And it was like, okay, you're not happy doing the lessons. Well, why are we keeping them? And we ended up going, hey, it's true. She wants to have them. But it's part of a 10-year vision we have. And this is the time frame. I'm talking like the mature, conscious, masculine, spiritual practitioner in you. I say at every podcast episode at the beginning, it's like kingly brothers, heroic husbands. The hero in you, the heroic response is the hero doesn't back off from the heroic journey. Now the hero, the Gandhi took decades to establish his vision of, you know, political liberation of his homeland, to have political sovereignty in his homeland. It was an epic journey. Nelson Mandela, what was it, 23 years in Robben Island, and there still was a big fight. So there was a fight beforehand, there was a big spiritual fight, but he came out. He was willing to do whatever was necessary. The hero in you, you'll know it's the hero when you bring a patience. You'll know you're in king mode when you're like, the king of a kingdom doesn't tear everything down, you know, impulsively, going, I just want instant gratification now. Get me a 20-year-old to fuck. Get me like a fucking sports convertible car so I can feel alive now. If you want to do that, that's not heroic. You can. You can do whatever you want, man. You don't have to do anything to please me. But it's not going to be pleasing to you long term. It's not going to be pleasing, you can bet your bottom dollar, I'd say statistically, it's not going to be pleasing to yourself many, many, many years from now on the deathbed. You're bored with living, you know, spiritual awakening, midlife crisis, but shifting that from midlife crisis to, that's a title to hook you in. It's midlife awakening. Every man, every husband has a deep need for this. Everyone. There's not one of you listening in that does have not have a deep need for this, because you've all lived in the same society. So your authentic truth, your inner knowing has not created your life. That's why you're experiencing. That's why you're listening in. Your inner knowing did not create your marriage. Your inner knowing is not being represented in conversations. That's why you feel so fucking annoyed and pissy and frustrated in marital conversations, because there's some inner knowing that is not being allowed to come through. And you can blame your queen. Oh, she doesn't respect me. She doesn't honor me. She doesn't. No, you're not honoring yourself, man. Don't put it in her. Don't put it in your kids. Don't put it in your life. That's not heroic. That's cowardice. I've been there. There's this cowardice part, this boy energy that wants to fucking hack my queen, my marriage. It comes up. It still does. I tell guys in Heroic Husband's Men's Circle, don't look at me as a fucking guru, as some guy of perfection. Look at me as a badass mother trucker. I will not stop. My daily prayer is I will, just for today, I will ferociously love and accept myself, my wife, my kids, and life. I will ferociously love and accept myself, my wife, my kids, and life. And inner doubts, you know, shadow, pain, yet to be digested from my past, it comes up. But there's a king energy in me. And it's in you, the kingdom of God that lies within, your Buddha nature, whatever other beautiful spiritual terms that resonate, that is in you. And that is what your queen yearns for you to connect with the most. That's what her feedback has always been about. So if your marriage isn't working, you're not at fault for the 400 pound societal story that you've been wearing on your back. You're not at fault for being blind for all these years, for it not working yet. But you are completely able to respond now. But only if you have the spiritual balls to lean in, to listen, to find solitude, to find a support, to book an application call. At the time of recording, you probably have like maybe 3 days of application calls, spaces to be booked in. If you book today, you could literally be on a call tomorrow, the next day, the next day. It's for this intake. You might be late, but if you're a real badass, you're feeling the fire, there might be some. I've put some for next Monday as well. The next intake, it starts at the time recording next week, the Wednesday and Thursday. There's 3 groups there. It's beautiful what's going to be happening, what is happening. You might make it in. You know, there's so much truth coming through, you guys. There's so much unlived potentiality. There's so much unlived feeling of love and excitement, of bliss, of joy, of unbridled fucking sexual expression, of, yeah, it could be earning capacity. Man, I've lived in poverty. I love earning more money that allows me. It can be earning that allows you, but, you know, money is this incredible thing. Like, money magnifies who we think we are. So if you're an unhappy fucker with, you know, 60 grand in the bank, you're going to be a quadruply unhappy shithead, feeling you're a shithead. Not that you're a shithead, but it's going to magnify who you feel you are now. So if you're an asshole now, you're not going to be a different man with a million in the bank or a billion in the bank. You're going to be like an asshole with like a million times more power to magnify asshole energy in the world. Not a good thing. But more money can be a beautiful thing if you're connected with who you authentically are, because it doesn't matter the money. You're feeling radically at peace with yourself. You're at one with yourself. So some more money, it's only going to bring peace and joy and connection for your queen and for your kids and joy for the world. And you're going to be infinitely more of service coming from your authentic self, from that inner knowing. And you can find, and this is why this podcast is so potent and powerful, and why the numbers, hey, it's really difficult. Like the world is telling me that without social media, you can't expand. Yet, funnily enough, it's expanding. Because why? It's spiritual power. I speak from a progressively reestablished relationship with my inner knowing. And that's the spiritual power that comes through. And that's why your nervous system goes, man, I'm longing to have my sacred version of what Mark is speaking to. every single one of you that I get to speak with, to have the honor and privilege to speak with one-on-one, you're speaking these words, multiple different words and versions, but it's all sort of in and around. It's like, Mark, you're speaking what I've always known. You're speaking to this potent power inside of me, this insatiable appetite that there's more available to me as a husband, as a lover, as a parent, as a man. You're speaking to that. I've always known it, but you've just told me it's possible within a married life. And it is all possible. Coming into landing, guys, the good idea, bad idea, the good idea part of it is think in terms of a 5-10 year overhaul. Yes, there might be some immediate changes, but think in terms of, you know, speed up by slowing down. It will bring safety for you, safety for your queen. It won't be abrupt. And, you know, if there's a lot of change, and for most of you, there will be significant change that if you really tap into inner knowing, man, there's going to be beautiful, juicy changes. Think in 5 to 10 years. And then, man, there's infinite possibilities. Don't feel stuck by a career. Man, think radical free. Over 5-10 years, infinitely more becomes possible. If you try to load, I've got to change it all and it has to happen in the next 3 to 6 months, man, that's overwhelm. You're going to break down. You're going to freak out. And if your marriage is still alive, you're going to just go, it's not possible, and going to go tail between your legs back to your normal known way of living. It's not a 3 to 6 month journey. Some big changes might happen quite quickly, but think 5 years, even have the courage to think 10 years, like a whole life overhaul. Location independent work, that could be open to you. Coming from inner knowing, what's your mission that you want to lead people on? What's your mark you want to leave in the world? What's your message you want to give the world, transmit to the world? Create a job around that. Get super creative. There's thousands of people. There's a man in my men's group, not in the men's group, in my business mastermind. He's a location independent man. He's homeschools his girls. Married man, 2 beautiful children. They've traveled, I don't know how many countries in the last, like, they've been doing it like 6-7 years. New adventures. Same life, but new adventures. Travel places, eat new foods, meet new people, new places. Open your mind, your heart to new adventures. You know, do stuff that fill you up with joy. Devotional spiritual practice, reconnecting, whatever spiritual practice or tradition or teachings. Could be the podcast, could be like deepen it with Bible study, study of whatever teachings bring you home. Non-religious based spiritual teachers that you respect. Read their books often, meditate, come home, reconnect, remember that inner knowing. Play time with kids. Get playful. Rekindle childhood passions. Despite not making money, so many men have stopped playing the guitar, have stopped their art, have stopped writing little short stories and poetry, have stopped wrestling, have stopped so many different things that brought them such effortless joy and freedom and aliveness when they're young. Because why? It doesn't make money. You can't make a job from that. It's like, that's so fucking sad. It's indoctrination. You know, get the paintbrush out again, man. Get fucking doing what made you feel alive. You know, an hour each weekend, and then all of a sudden you're feeling better, and all of a sudden you're more playful, and all of a sudden your wife is playing, and all of a sudden your kids know a new thing about you and they join in, and all of a sudden a lot of things happen in a beautiful way. Start speaking your truth, guys. Feel the fear and say it anyway. You know, don't put it in your queen that she has to love and accept everything that comes out and be in agreement with everything comes out, but have the fucking spiritual balls to start speaking your truth. Say, baby, I'm unhappy at work. Baby, I'm unhappy with our marriage. It's not you. It's not our marriage. But I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled with it. There's more here on the table. And I want, like, I'm safe. You're safe. I'm committed with you. You know, I'm not out. I'm in love with you, but man, just baby, this whole life that we've created, there's different things I'm becoming aware of. But I'd love to have a conversation with you about like a 5-year plan, some fresh changes that might be available, and then maybe, baby, could we get together and form a 5-10 year plan? Like, where are you not feeling happy? She'll meet you there, man. If you feel safe, if she can feel the safety and the trust and the grounded presence in you, man, there's plenty every wife will be dying to say. She's probably told you already, and you haven't maybe had the courage or, you know, the capacity and openness yet to listen fully, but she'll meet you there. It could be, you know, moving home, to be submerged in nature. Maybe the home does not represent what you and your queen and your family truly wants, to live a spiritually thriving, radically liberated, radically alive life. Maybe a lot of the cases it's established non-negotiable boundaries with in-laws. You know, does your parental lineage hold the pen of how you create your life and that of your queens? Man, some non-negotiable boundaries, some no-contact boundaries. My queen does powerful work with narcissistic mothers. Man, I've had to set non-negotiable boundaries with siblings. I'm feeling infinitely better, and my marriage is infinitely better. My queen feels infinitely safer. My kids are happier since I've done so. These are big questions to answer, but... And here's the thing. When you start going with this inner knowing, you feel way more alive and radically free. What starts flooding your nervous system? Liberated sexual energy, my friend. And what do you do with that sexual energy apart from creating an epic life all around you? Because sexual energy is creative energy, man. It's how you penetrate the world to get what you want, to meet all your deepest, authentic, true desires, needs, and wants. You channel that beautiful sexual energy. And if you're living with a libido of life, with sexual energy of a man liberated, of kingliness, of a heroic husband that has this long-term plan that you're excited about, you're inspiring, not requiring, you're inspiring your queen and your kids to lean in and join you on this journey, this liberating spiritual journey where everybody's happier, healthier, you're thriving, where authentic truth is honored and expressed. That sexual energy, man, you're going to burn up the bedroom, and your queen is going to be there yearning with her sacred garden open to receive her king, and you will unfuck one more bullshit story of modern society, which is sexual connection dies invariably. It's an intrinsic part of marriage, and definitely, oh man, she's at the menopause, you know. Well, it's dead and gone. I regret not shagging way more earlier. I wish I came alive earlier in marriage because I would have enjoyed way more sex. Bullshit! Liberated sexual energy where you're a king, you're a hero, you know it. You take on your version of being as powerful as any man that has ever been, is now, and ever will be. And you have that sense of unfuckwittable spiritual self-esteem, and you're fucking badass. You're walking different, you're talking different, you're taking action that's in alignment with your greatest power. You're the fucking king of your kingdom. You're dominating your life in a beautiful spiritual way. You will find her spiritual sexual desires will come back for you for life, man, long term. It's not modeled by many people, but I've heard and read, when you study tantric practitioner, spiritual sexual liberating energy and desire, that's a long-term game. Again, unfuck another bullshit story. Take that 400-pound bullshit backpack of beliefs that never were you. You've a deeper inner knowing that's your truth. Take the hood off your head, man. That is what is essential. That is why I say every husband on the planet should have a midlife crisis. But let's have less of the crisis, less of the reactivity, and bring it as a conscious awakening that inspires you, your queen, your kids, and the next seven generations after you to come home to the beauty that it is to be married, to come home to the beauty that it is to be a human being on this fucking awesome planet in this beautiful time in history. This is the movement. This is why I will stop at nothing. The men, you men around the planet, let's stop at nothing to have, by the end of 2027, 10 million husbands listening in every week, 100,000 husbands in Heroic Husbands Men Circles. Because why? As I say, always, with unfuckwithable belief, We are changing the world. Because better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.